grow old. Aren't you glad we got that? Somebody say amen. Amen. I like this world less and less every day I live in it. I like this world less and less every day I live in it. I love people. And I don't like this world. I don't like the fact that bombs are going off everywhere and people being shot everywhere and things like that. By the way, I was talking about Sunday school. That with all the tragic stuff that we had going on this week, you know, Colorado passed, they legalized marijuana. So now you can smoke pot freely in the state. And so yesterday, they had a day of pot in Colorado. People gathered together with, in some cases, in fact, you know what? I'm going to show you the picture here. Let me just get out of this, and I'm going to show you what I showed during Sunday school this morning. It made me angry. I woke up 3 o'clock this morning, and I saw that, and it made me angry. Is what it did. Look at the just those pictures right there. Tell it all. That's wickedness.
Amen.
That is pure wickedness. That is a defiled nation. Who, in the face of the tragedies that we have dealt with this week as a nation, that people have no more respect but to just get together and waste their minds publicly and legally. Some of the leaders of our nation said they could do it. They're going to try to. They've already eased the restrictions up in St. Louis on if you get caught with marijuana, you no longer have to go to jail. They just write you a ticket, pay a fine, just like running a stoplight. Yeah? And so now everybody knows where to go if they want to do this stuff. And at some point, our whole nation, this is what we may end up being. If you remember as it was in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking. Drunkenness and marijuana and drug abuse is no different than biblical drunkenness. The same thing. In fact, in some cases, it's worse. But this is what our nation is turning into. We're no longer a nation of sobriety. We're a nation of drunkenness. God's going to get us for that. God's going to get us for that. God's going to judge this nation. And I talked during Sunday school about Babylon. And there's one thing that I know about Babylon. Is that God's going to judge Babylon, and He's given His people right now, and anybody who would, an opportunity to come out of Babylon. An opportunity to come out of Babylon. And I want you to ask the question this morning, I want you to ask the question in your mind, are you still in Babylon this morning? Are you still following the world and the world's ways and everything that relates to the world? Or are you ready to come out of that and come into God's holiness, come into God's city, New Jerusalem, and be saved and be part of God's people? Because God says, I'm going to destroy Babylon. Be not partakers of her sins, that you be not partakers of her plagues. And when it came time for God to do salvation with Lot, God did not protect Lot while he was inside Sodom. He said, Lot, you come out. God didn't just protect Noah to just live on the earth while the floodwaters rose. God wanted Noah and his family separated from the rest of the world. And this is what God requires. Separation. You be willing to come out. Now you can be like Lot's wife and you can say, "Boy, I love the world too much." That's your choice. Didn't work out for Lot's wife, and it won't work out for you either. Can I get an amen out of God's people? And when we say amen to things like that, this is not done in pride and boasting. Because every person here who says amen at one time used to be in Babylon.
Amen, sir.
We're not here by our own strength and our own character and our own fortitude. We're here by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saved me. It's the same grace of God that'll save you. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want you to pray about the message and pray that God will help you this morning. God will show you great and mighty things which you know not. 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. You know what that means? He didn't go to Colorado. He didn't attend the multi-faith prayer service in Washington, D.C. That's not God. God was not in that. Amen. It looks good. All we're just embracing all faiths. At least one of those faiths that we know of is guilty, and the blood of those people in Boston is on the hands of Islam.
Amen.
Let me hear God's people say amen to that.
Amen.
I'm not celebrating their religion with them.
Amen.
I don't hate them. In fact, I love them. When I see people, God just, I look at them and I say, God, help me to love that person. I'd like to see that person. I don't care what color their skin is. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they got stuff wrapped around their head. It doesn't matter to me. They need to be saved exactly the way I needed to be saved.
Amen.
They need to be saved. We're not helping them by telling them that their religion is okay, because it's not. They are not, and this is kind of the theme of what I've been preaching here lately, they are not in a covenant relationship with God.
That's right.
And I'm going to teach you what that means, because this is where we're headed. Hezekiah decided to do that which was right, not in the world's eyes, not in his father's eyes, not in his own eyes, but he decided to do that which was right in God's eyes. And the thing is, when you're ready to come to Christ, when you're ready to meet God and you're ready to have a relationship with Him, it will be done on God's terms and not yours. You do not lay down the rules for God. You do not say, well, God, this is how I want it, and then make up in your mind how things are between you and God. Because I'm going to tell you something. While you're in the world, did you know the Bible says God is angry with you? You are at enmity with God, which means there's a battle. There's a conflict going on between you and God all the time. So he said he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And according to all that David his father had done, in verse 3, he in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For your fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch, and have put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore, now watch this, wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and He hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. In verse 10, now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. If you are to have eternal life, if you're to have what the Bible calls salvation, if you're to be what the Bible refers to as being born again, if you want to go to heaven when you die, there must be an agreement between you and God as to how this is done. God is the offended party, but God is willing to reconcile with you if you are willing to reconcile with God on His terms. And it requires what we would call in our day now, it requires a contract. It requires a contract. Take a look up on the screen. This is a contract. Probably every adult in this room has signed something like this before in your life. You've signed some sort of an agreement. If you rent property, you signed an agreement with the landowner to be able to live in his house. You signed an agreement. You signed a document. You agreed to the terms of that document. That document, you didn't... Hey, you don't go to the landlord with a rental agreement. You stop and think about how profound that is. If you've ever rented property, if you said, well, we need a place to live, and I like that house over there, and it's for rent, well, I'm going to show up, and I've got my own rental agreement here that I'm going to hand to the landlord, and I'm going to have him sign it so we can live there. Sterling? Don't work that way, does it? Sterling, it's property. Okay? It doesn't work that way. You don't tell the landlord what it is that you're going to do in his property. He lays out the terms. If you don't like the terms, guess what? Don't live there. Don't sign the contract. Don't make the agreement. If you don't like it, move on somewhere else. But that's the way it is. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is the one who has laid out the terms. God is the one who laid out the conditions. And they're not difficult. But you've got to accept it, my friend. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, God, and I ask, Lord, for your help. Lord, I'm asking, dear God, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I don't have any illusions, God, that I'm up here going to show off my intellect and my speaking ability and everything like that. I have nothing, God, to give these people other than what you have given me. God, you've helped me and you've blessed me. Father, I love this Bible and I love what it is and I love what it means and I love what it says. And Lord, my body and my mind is tired this morning, but I love preaching your word. I'm asking you, God, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of your word. Bless the hearts of the listeners this morning. Help us, dear God, to understand that we need an agreement. We need a covenant. That your fierce wrath does not abide on us. We need that agreement, God. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to open up the windows of heaven. Send down the rain of doctrine and the dew of your word this morning into the hearts, the minds of these people. I'm asking you, Father, Lord, as our neighbor, would you rise and give us bread? These people, Lord, are on a long journey through life. And sometimes, Lord, they get to a place and they don't think they're going to make it. So, Lord, I'm asking you, God, would you rise? Would you give your people bread? Bless and honor your word. Help me to preach this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. I want you to look up on the screen again. You have a contract up there. The terms and conditions of how something is going to be done in your life. And I want you to consider something here for a minute. Which is better? As far as today's world, now I know back in the old days, back before people became really good liars, I know that a lot of times people would make agreements based upon a handshake. You could shake a man's hand and then the agreement would be done and man was as good as his word and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you what, we live in such a wretched, wicked society nowadays, I don't trust anybody. You can't even trust family members. Can I get an amen out of somebody? You can't even trust family members. You can't come into agreements with people of your own kin and your own kind because they're going to cheat you. They're going to put you out. They're going to break the terms, and it'd be almost impossible to go to court on somebody. Courts do allow, in certain conditions, verbal agreements. They do allow for verbal contracts. But it's almost impossible to prove some things in court based upon the idea, well, we had an agreement. We shook hands. Because while you go in there and say, well, the agreement was this way, the guy you're suing says, oh, no, no, it was some way entirely different. And how do you know what was said? How do you know the conditions? How do you know the terms? How do you know who's telling the truth and who's lying? We've learned in these days that if we're going to have an agreement with somebody, the first thing somebody grabs for is a pen and a little piece of notebook paper. I don't care if it's the hanky you blow your nose on or whatever it is. We grab for something to write on and we write out and we can put it in simple terms and say, now here, sign this. And as soon as they sign it, it's legal and binding. I don't care if it was written on the back of a napkin. That is legal and binding. We have learned the value of a written covenant and a written agreement. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God, when He made a covenant with Israel in the Old Testament, He didn't just tell Moses up on the mountain, "Now Moses, go tell him now what I said." God, with His own hand, wrote it down.
That's right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Wrote it down. And when Moses comes down from the mountain with those two tablets in his hand and in stone, those people knew that God had written that and that that was God's word, and they did not question it. They agreed to it and they said, "All that God said, we will do." They signed the agreement. They said, "That's what we'll do." Here's the problem. In the Old Testament, when God came, when Moses came down from the mountain with God's word in his hand, the written covenant of God, the Bible calls them the two tables of the covenant. In other words, Moses came down with a written contract in his hand for the people of Israel. And God said, "If you do these things, then ye shall live." What were some of those things? "Thou shalt honor the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not take his name in vain. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet." Those all sound like they're good and we all agree to them. Everybody nod your head and say amen. Don't you wish we still had the Ten Commandments sitting in our schoolrooms?
Yes.
Good grief. What a country we've become when we've taken God's rules out of society. What a country we've become. Amen?
Amen.
That's why they're smoking it up in Colorado right now. Taking God's word and God's commandments out of the schoolhouses, out of the courthouses, out of the congressional halls, and everything else in the world. And nobody knows what's required of God. But everybody's breaking God's law. And so God came down, sent Moses down with this written agreement. And they all, and the second time he came down, they said, "All that God said, we will do." So God said, "Do everything that's on here and you'll live." And they said, "We agree." Because that's what it takes, right? If I show up and Sterling wants to rent to somebody, or Antonio, they want to rent to somebody, and the people move in, and you've got the rental agreement, and they don't sign it, that means that they don't have to abide by it. They didn't sign it. They didn't agree to it. And now that you're stuck with them in your house, and you can't get them out. Because you let them move in there and they didn't agree to anything. But if they sign it, they agreed to it. The Israelites at the base of Mount Sinai said to God, "We will do everything that you tell us to do." Now I want you to listen to this. In case you think that you're good enough to go to heaven. When God said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," when Moses came down from the mountain with the two tablets in his hand, guess what they were doing? They were at the base of Mount Sinai committing adultery. And the rule is, God said you had to do all of the commandments. All of them. Let's be honest. I don't think this is going to hurt anybody. Raise your hand if you know for a fact you've broken at least one of God's commandments. Raise your hand. That's everybody. Everybody. You know what Romans 3 says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is why the contract, the covenant that God made with the Israelites in the Old Testament doesn't work, and it's actually a covenant of bondage. In Galatians chapter 4, look up there on the screen if we can get the screen to quit flickering. I think somebody's trying to turn the channels on me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. The Bible says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a freeman." You know what God's, in those stories in the Old Testament, God gave them as an example to us so that we can learn by them. And just in case anybody, I don't care if it's Jews, I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's these people up here to American Legion Hall, anybody who decides that they want to get to heaven based upon their own good deeds, let me show you how that works in God's eyes. He said, "The one by a bondmaid," which was Hagar, "and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise." He's talking about Sarah and Isaac. Verse 24, which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. You have in your Bible the two covenants. They are written down. You have the old covenant, which said, do everything that God said, and if you break one law, you've broken the whole law. Did you know that in most rental agreements, that there are terms and conditions by which if you're going to move into somebody's place, they have terms and conditions down, and if you don't fulfill one of the terms and conditions, they can have you put out legally. Because you signed the contract. According to the contract, if you don't do, you lose your home. They can kick you out and you're out in the street. That's the law. And by the way, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. So here the thing is, people are thinking, well, I've done enough good deeds. I've done enough good things that God will accept me and God will overlook the things that I did wrong. Doesn't work that way.
That's right.
If you break one of God's commandments, you're out. That's the old covenant. This is why, under the Old Testament, no one could be saved by keeping the law. Do you know why? No one kept the law. No one did. He said, these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar, the Egyptian woman. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and entereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. The Bible is telling you, Paul is telling you, that right now the Jews are in bondage. They're not saved. They're not born again. They will not inherit eternal life because they only hold on to the old covenant, the old contract that they agreed to. And the Jews, if they do not accept Christ as their Messiah, as their Savior, they, when they die, they will go to the same hell that Adolf Hitler is in.
Yeah.
And Charles Manson's going to. Amen. And Marilyn Monroe's in there right now. And everybody that does wickedly, they are going to go to the same hell as everybody else goes to. And they can say, well, we're the people of God. But they broke His covenant.
That's right.
And so have you. You want to try to live. You want to try to do for yourself. Be my guest. You will always be in bondage. You will never be free like you want to be free. Maybe I could get you to raise your hands on this one. You don't have to, but you can. If you know that your sin brings bondage to you, slip your hand up. That's pretty good. Because you know that the things that you want to do, you can't do. You cannot perform them because of sin. So you're in bondage. But then he said, Hebrews chapter 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You see, here's what it takes for you to go to heaven. It takes you being perfect. And I know that you probably know somebody. I wouldn't say you think that. But you probably know somebody that you work with, or somebody that is in your family. They just think they're something else, don't they? They just think they're perfect. They just think they're better than everybody else. They think they're perfect. They think they're this. They think they're that. And they're not. I'm not. You're not. I think you're a nice guy. He's not perfect, is he? Pretty good husband. He ain't perfect. I got a pretty good wife. She's not perfect. Never will be. this side of eternity. I try my best to be a good guy. I try my best to be a good husband to Sweetie Pie. And did you know that every now and then, I do some of the stupidest things that a husband could ever do? That was not your amen. That was Sweetie Pie's amen. She could say, amen. I love him. But every now and then, Mike Hoggard does some of the stupidest things anybody could ever do. I love my children. I had three girls. Loved them. Did everything I could for them. They are not perfect. Lindsay's not, Antonio. She's not perfect. I know it's only been 3 years. You'll figure it out. Mick. Alicia's not perfect. Neither is Mick. Courtney, I love you. She's not perfect either. She's not. Caleb. Never mind. Matthew. That was a good song. But he's not perfect. I can't make him perfect. I can't make you perfect. And according to the Bible, in order for you to have eternal life, you have to be perfect. And the thing about the law is, the law shows you the standard of perfection, but it doesn't do anything to make you abide by it. There's speed limit signs all up and down the roads. And who in here, I would try to keep the speed limit, but every now and then, Jim, you look down, and what's going on? You're speeding. Not even trying to, and you're speeding. You know why? You're not perfect. And the old covenant that God laid out, the Old Testament, could not make anybody perfect. It was insufficient. It wouldn't work. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. By the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. He's talking about Christ. For those priests were made, he's talking about the Levite priesthood in the Old Testament. Did you know that, you know what the qualifications for a Levite priest was? You had to be born a Levite. That was it. If you were born in the Levite tribe, you were automatically a priest. No covenant, no oath. No, you didn't have to put your hand on the Bible and swear anything. If you were born a Levite, you were made a priest. And that's what he's saying. He said, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Now God is swearing an oath over one particular priest whose sacrifice can take away all of man's transgressions. God is making a promise. He's swearing an oath. That's how it's going to be. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The order of Melchizedek was an angelic, still is, an angelic realm of priests. That's where Christ came from. Did you know Christ was not a Levite? He was from Judah. And so according to the Levitical law, he can't be a priest, but he is of a higher order. He comes from heaven, and he is a high priest of heaven. And God swore an oath that I'm going to send a priest that will take away your sins.
Amen.
But watch this now. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament.
That's right.
3 o'clock in the morning. I looked this word up. 3 o'clock in the morning. A surety. Do you know what that is? Who in here has ever first co-signed on a loan? Who in here is co-signed on a loan and swears you'll never do it again? Ever. You know what co-signing on a loan does? Puts you on the hook for someone else's problems. And you talk to any lawyer, watch Judge Judy, Judge Doe, they will tell you, don't co-sign a loan. Why? Anybody who makes you co-sign a loan, more than likely, they're going to put you on the hook. You're going to end up having to pay for something that you didn't borrow. You don't get the car. You don't get anything. All you got to do is pay the bill. I looked up the word surety. I almost woke Lisa up last night. Here's the this is a legal definition. By the way, this book is God's law book.
Amen.
It is a legal binding contract. This is why, Ken, this preacher don't believe that anybody should come and mess with the words that are in my contract with God. Somebody say amen. Don't mess with the Bible. Don't change the words. Don't alter my contract. Here's what a surety is. An individual who undertakes an obligation to pay a sum of money or to perform some duty or promise for another, in the event that person fails to act. Let me tell you, I failed to act. God said, thou shalt not covet. There ain't too many things in this world that I've set my eyes on that I have not coveted. Any food commercial that comes on TV, well, I wish I had that. That's a violation of God's law. Car commercials, well, that's a nice car. Broke the law. Houses, they should not cover thy neighbor's house. First thing out of God's mouth. Everything that we set our eyes on, in some way or another, we coveted and we break the law. And I have failed to perform. I cannot do it. So you know what the Bible says about Christ? He was made a surety for me. That means in the event that I can't do, Christ pays the bill. You need to get a hold of this. You know what the bill is? Death. The bill, the contract of the Old Testament said, if you break the law, you're going to die. It was a death penalty for breaking the contract. By the way, I still believe in the death penalty. Did you know it was given before the law? God said in Genesis 9, if a man takes another man's life, his life should be taken. That's not murder. That is God invoking civility among human beings. And if they get all the information out of this guy they're going to get out of him, that's all well and good. But I believe that he should be executed for his crime of killing that little boy in Boston, Massachusetts.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. Don't you buy the liberal garbage that says maybe we can rehab him. It's not about rehabilitation. It's about someone's got to pay the bill. And so you know what liberalism does in this country? It takes the sins of these crooks and these thieves and these rapists and these pedophiles and these murderers and everybody else, and it puts it on you. Because you're going to pay for life in prison for the rest of their life. They're going to get three hots and a cot. And in a lot of prisons in this country, they trade in alcohol and dope. Liberalism makes you pay their bill. But the thing is, Mark, you broke God's law. According to the law, you've got to pay the bill. But here's something that you found out one day. When God gave that law, Jesus stepped in and said, "Father, I'm going to sign for them. I'm going to sign for them." "Son, are you sure?" "Father, I'm sure." And he said, "I'll be a surety for them that if they sin and they fail to perform, I will go stand in their place and be condemned so that they won't have to be." Listen, if you're saved, somebody ought to shout every now and then, it's okay for white folks to get happy. Amen? It's okay for us to let go every now and then and get a little happy about what Christ has done for us. He became a surety for us and stood and paid the bill in our place because we can't pay it.
That's right.
That's why hell is forever. Because you'll never be able to pay the bill off. So here's what God said. "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened." That means being made alive together with Him, having forgiven you how many of your trespasses? It's not all minus some others. It's all your trespasses. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross."
That's right.
He took the old contract, and you know what He did? He said, "I'll become surety for it. And by the way, now that Christ has died, the old contract is null and void."
Amen.
Yeah.
Because, Antonio, if you rent to somebody and they sign a contract and it's for a year and they die 6 months later, did you know you can't get six more months of rent out of them? Do you know why? They're dead. Amen. When Christ died, He took the old covenant out of the way for us. No one can put you back under the terms of the old contract because the guy the contract was with died. Whew, that's good. "Took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Jeremiah 31, watch this. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." That's what we call the New Testament. You know how the New Testament starts? It starts like this. Christ dying on the cross to show you that the Old Testament is now done away with. It's null and void. God bless you. And so He said, "I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord." Did you know that God was a husband to Israel? And you know what God did to Israel for breaking the covenant? He wrote him a bill of divorce and handed it to him. He divorced him.
Yeah.
Said, "You're out. You can't be my wife." So how is it that we can have anything? Here's the new covenant. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God. And they shall be my people." And I want to tell you something. Those of you who are saved and born again and you know this to be true, listen, I want to tell you something. When you get saved and right with God, you don't need someone reading a rule book to you all the time. You just want to do what's right. Somebody say amen. It's in your heart. "I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them even to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will," watch this now, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more." Has anybody here ever had a debt forgiven? You ever had a debt? You ever owed a debt? And then someone just said, "We're writing it off"? Like a hospital bill? Hospital said, "You know what? Writing it off. You don't owe us anymore." Did you know a year later they cannot come back after you and say, "You know what? We changed our mind." They cannot come back after you. Now I want you to listen to this, because there are people sitting here, probably some people watching, that the devil climbs all over you over past sins and tries to tell you, "You're not going to heaven. You're not going to make it. Look at what you did. Look at all the things you did. Look at all you defiled God. You went against Him." God has a rule called no double jeopardy. Once He has forgiven your sins, they are remembered no more. God forgave the transgressions. He forgave the debt. It's over with. And now, watch this now. Let's say that on your list of sins, because God wrote them all down, there's 14,928 sins, laws that you broke from God. You're not perfect. Let's say that you're better than some people. Then there's only 13,480. You're better than some people. When Christ, with His blood, the Bible says He blotted them out. Now, they're gone. Do you know what that makes you? Perfect. But I did it! I know. God wiped it away. It's gone. And now, you're perfect. Listen, I think you ought to get blessed by that.
Amen.
I will remember their sin no more. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, which was the old covenant, the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. It's talking about the New Testament. For the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? You know what's going to happen? Christ is going to come again one of these days. How many of you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
You know what how the Bible says? He's going to come just like Matthew 17, His face shining as the sun. You know what He's coming down to do? He's coming down to take His people and bring them to be in heaven with Him for all of eternity. Who are those people? Those that said, God, I'm signing a contract. Because you know what the contract is? God said, let me quote it for you. It's very easy, simple. It's a verse you all know. John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You, the old covenant said, you've got to do this and do that, do that, do that. And if you do one thing wrong, I'll kill you. The new covenant said, do you believe I died for you and paid your debt? You have eternal life. Believe. 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 For by grace are you saved through faith. You know what faith is? Believe. That's the new. How many of you want to sign that covenant? Believe. Believe. I'll agree to that, God. That was what Hezekiah was getting at. He knew that his people had violated God's law, not just once, but repeatedly. He knew that the wrath of Almighty God was coming down on them. And he said, God has put it in my heart to make a covenant with God so that we can be saved from His wrath. And the covenant is, will you believe what God said? Scotty, will you believe it? Every word? Every word. Don't question it. Don't hand it in for a modern covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Don't, as the Mormons do, accept a New Testament of Jesus Christ. Don't accept that one. Don't accept any other agreement, any other covenant. And it's, listen to me, it's God's terms. He wrote the contract. Do you trust Him? He wrote the contract, and it's on His terms. And the only term that He has is, will you believe what I said? Will you believe? And it says, appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Stop and ask yourself the question. Are we close to a time when a dictator can control the entire banking system of the world and force everybody to do something in order to buy or sell? Are we close to that?
Amen. Yes, amen.
You must realize that we are on the verge of earth-shaking events. But let's say that's a year from now. That's not going to happen a year from now. And you're my mom's friend, Arlie, who left her house. She actually was supposed to go by and pick up another friend that they all go to church with. And she said, no, don't come by and get me. It's raining outside. I don't want to get out in it. I'll meet you later. And she got in that car and she made a mistake. Anybody, I've done it. We used to cross that old Fletcher low water bridge that are out there on H Highway. We used to run across that thing all the time, water running over the top of it. And the last time I did it, I swore that was the last time I was ever going to do it. It scared me. And all she did was make a mistake. And she lost her life just like that. You don't know when the mistake is going to be made that ends your life. And God is offering you a contract right now that will save you from the wrath to come. All you got to do is accept it. See how simple that is? It's all you got to do. And it's done. Will you do it? Let's stand to our feet. Alicia, would you come? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I appreciate you long suffering with me today. I just had to get this out. I think it's so important. See, I look in the Bible. And I study the Scripture, and I look for ways to present the gospel in a biblical way so that everybody could understand it. You need to understand what's at stake, your eternal soul. And everybody in this room, if you're here a visitor, you look around the people in this room. See, I know these people. They are rotten to the core. They're hell-deserving, wicked sinners. Got a wicked heart. But here's what makes the difference in them. They signed God's contract. And God's covenant saves them from the wrath to come. And so the reason why I don't let these people pretend that they're better than anybody else is because I want sinners to know when they come in here that they can be the same way if they'll just believe what God said. So I'm going to ask you this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. Matthew, cut to this camera over here. You're here this morning. And if that would have been you in that car rolling through those floodwaters, and you would have died, and you're not sure whether or not you would have gone to heaven then, if you want to and you want me to pray for you, slip your hand up, right back down. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know. That scares me. That scares me. I want to know. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Maybe some people watching online. If you would have died the other day, where would you be right now? I think about those people that got blew up in Texas. Just like that, they're gone. No second chance. Where would you be right now? Go from the flames of an industrial fire in Texas to the flames of hell, and you know you're there. That's a big deal. I'm going to ask you this morning. Alicia's going to play a verse of invitation. We're going to pray. If you want to come see me at church, that's fine. You want to come now, that's fine. But right where you are, you can say to God, God, I want to know. You know what he said in 1 John? He said, these things have I written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. So I want you to ask yourself the question, did I sign the contract? Did I sign the agreement? Did I consent and say, yes, God, this is what I want? If you did, God didn't forget it. If you have not done that, do it today. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for presenting to us, God, the gospel. It says, Lord, this is as true as any other way of saying it. As you made Jesus the surety in that knowing, God, that we could not perform the words of the old covenant. Christ then stepped in our place and paid the bill. And God, with some of us, that was a big bill. That's why you said, I think it was of Mary Magdalene, she loves me much because she has been forgiven of much. Lord, there might be some Mary Magdalenes out here today that, Lord, they're not sure if you can forgive them of everything they've done. But God, your covenant said that you would wipe away all of their transgressions, and that means all. And God, we know, Lord, that we put you on the hook for our stupidity. But you loved us so much that you offered it to us. And we accept it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, if there's someone here, if there's someone listening, they just want to accept it. Lord, it's easy. They just come to you and say, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Just like the thief on the cross did. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Lord, would you help your people today in Jesus' name. Alicia's going to play one verse of invitation. If God's dealing with your heart, and you want to pray, you come down here, one of these old benches, and me and you do some praying, all right? Those of you watching online, right where you are, you call upon the name of the Lord. And God promised He would save you. You call upon Him right now. Sing that with me. Like taking a rich uncle to go buy a brand new car. Okay? And the rich uncle, I mean, he's just there for the ride, and you kind of work out the deal with the salesman, and the uncle said, Jim, I got this. What? No, I got it. You know what the Bible says? My father is rich. You know what he's rich in, Brady? Mercy. Mercy. That Bible's good, isn't it? Why is this country throwing it out? I'll never know, Joe. Why in the world are they throwing out the Bible? I don't get it. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate our visitors. We love you. Hope you felt like you were in God's house this morning. Come back and be with us. All right, tonight, 6 o'clock, Brady's going to preach the matchless Word of God. Amen. You pray for him. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us and clean us up and make us His people. All right. David, to me, lead us in prayer, please, buddy.